Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me, like always,
Ryan Record
and Weston Graham.
How are you guys doing today?
Pretty fantastic, Sebastian. Thank you.
Well,
a crazy night last night, just insane. We're gonna get straight into it. The NBA lottery took place last night in Chicago, and the New Orleans Pelicans jumped 6 spots to get the number one pick and win the Zion Williamson sweepstakes. Memphis Grizzlies also jumped 6 spots from 8-2. The Lakers had the biggest jump of them all, going from 11-4. And then you had teams like the Cavaliers, who ridiculously dropped from 2-5. I will get into the Cavs later on. Let's talk about the New Orleans Pelicans. A month ago, seemed like one of the worst situations in the NBA. Now, Zion Williamson. You potentially keep Anthony Davis. That's a playoff team in the West.
They're
Western
not
Conference.
Keeping Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis will be gone. But they do need a new identity. So Zion's going to fill that void for him quite nicely, I think.
I have an issue with this number one pick. You know, to me, the best fit for New Orleans is either Barrett or it's Ja Morant. Zion doesn't fit. You have Julius Randle there. You explain to me how Julius Randle and Zion Williamson...
Julius Randle's an unrestricted free agent, so he will likely be gone.
Oh, you think he's going?
Well, I mean...
After the year he had, probably.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he has a player option at $9 million. He's definitely going
to decline that. He's definitely going to decline that.
And if you add Zion, where's Julius Randle going to fit?
That's what I'm saying is
I think you're going to...
Instead of picking for need, I just feel like the Pelicans are going to do the Pelicans, and they're going to make a poor decision based on their team, and they're just going to blow up what they do have, start from scratch. And I mean, you got to remember, that's a team that 2 years ago was a threat in the Western Conference playoffs. They looked like one of the most viable options to knock off the Warriors, and they had a top three MVP candidate in Anthony Davis. And so now they're adding Zion, and it's like, I just don't get it. The perfect spot for Zion is Memphis, but I know that Zion's going first. This is the big one for me, though. Do the Knicks send that number three pick, if they get Kyrie and don't get KD, do they send that number three pick down to New Orleans so that Zion and RJ Barrett can team back up
in the
NBA?
I don't think that's enough for New Orleans. I don't think that will be enough for New Orleans. And obviously, you do more than the number three pick.
Right, like Kevin Knox could be a guy that would go
Mitchell
there.
Mitchell Robinson would have to be in
Mitchell
that
Robinson
as well.
Would be a great one to send
Trier.
Down there.
I don't think that's enough for Anthony Davis, to be quite honest with you. I don't think they'd do that. I think Boston would give him a better deal.
Yeah, Boston could give him a better deal. I believe that, but I don't know if they really do. I think that the prospects of Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, and then the number three overall pick if you're pairing RJ Barrett, Zion's best friend with Zion in the NBA. You know, you sit there and you got a team that now for the next 5 years is exciting, and in 5 to 10 years is a legit championship contender.
That is true. But at the same time, I just, you can get more for Anthony Davis than that. I strongly believe you can get more. I bet you could get, if it came down to it, you could get Ben Simmons from the Sixers for Anthony Davis.
You think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think Ben Simmons is going?
No, I would be stunned if he's gone.
Yeah, he's going to stay there.
I think the only way is that they get Anthony Davis. If they want to get Anthony Davis up in there once Tobias Harris leaves.
And Jimmy Butler
could potentially
gone.
Leave as well.
Yeah, I think he's good as gone. And he said he'll get a max contract wherever he goes. That was what his quote was yesterday.
Yep.
By
the way, I'm going to throw this out there. I'll let you go, Ryan Record. Watch out for the Sacramento Kings on Jimmy Butler. Go ahead.
Sure, that's a good move. I think the one team you will see make a move with their draft pick is the Lakers. They're a team that's had a top five draft pick like every year for the last, 4 or 5 years now?
Yep.
I can see him moving down, maybe freeing up some room to get Anthony Davis. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him in a yellow
Here's
and purple
the thing,
uniform
though.
Soon.
I mean, maybe, but I don't like. It's kind of the same with the Knicks. I don't think that's enough for the Pelicans to get Anthony Davis.
For a guy that doesn't even want to be there?
Yes. Anthony Davis, you got he's a perennial all-star. He's a once-in-a-generation talent. You are going to have to get blown away to trade Anthony Davis, and I get he's in the last year of his contract.
Well, the Pelicans do have a new front office, so maybe they can redeem themselves. And
David Griffin's not going to give him away for cheap. I can tell you that.
Nah, he's a pretty good exec.
Oh, he's fabulous. I wish we still had him. instead of Kobe the Puppet Altman. The thing is, really, Anthony Davis, I personally think he will be traded too. I think he's going to end up being in a situation where no one expects. I don't think he's going to L.A. or New York. I honestly don't know where he's going to go, but I think it's going to be somewhere where none of us expect. That's what I think.
When we start bringing in all the assets that could be thrown around, that's where it starts to get confusing, because there's only so many teams that have the assets that really can pull off a legitimate right. Anthony Davis trade.
The Lakers.
Well, they do. They do in a sense, because if they decide to part with Kuzma, which apparently Jeannie Buss likes, mm-hmm. if they decide to part with Lonzo Ball, which apparently Jeannie Buss likes, you know, you're getting rid of guys or Brandon Ingram. I think that Kuzma would be the odd man out in that trade because he's a power forward and he can't play the five. Zion is a power forward that can't play the five. So you already have a logjam there if you bring in Kuzma with Zion, unless you're going to put one of them at the three, which, you know,
right, which could
not
work.
Really ideal.
Right. So, you know, some of the teams you start to think about that would really fit for AD and a team that's trying to make a come up is the Clippers, because Ballmer has a lot of money.
That is a good fit.
But the only thing with Ballmer is he doesn't have the assets to really make that trade. So I think
don't
know
about that. I honestly don't. That's a team that I think, because I will say this, Montrezl Harrell has an extremely attractive contract. He's at $7 million for next year.
Okay.
The Clippers are loaded with first round picks. Mm-hmm. If you remember from that Tobias Harris deal, they got 2 first round picks from Philly for 3 months of Tobias Harris.
Wow.
A steal. They have Boston. They gave up a pick to Boston.
Yeah.
But they have their own picks. They are, Jerry West has slowly positioned that team to. They could, if they land Kawhi, which I think they will.
I think he could win a title and they still land Kawhi.
I honestly could see that too. I really could. I just, the Clippers are an incredible situation right now. I would bet my money that they land at least one max player. Absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised if they land two.
And that's another one, Jimmy Butler, that I could see him going to.
I could too. I mean, yeah. I think Jimmy Butler would love that. I'm not sure if the Clippers would necessarily like that.
Well, I remember last summer that was some of the rumblings that were going on through the media, was that what the Clippers wanted to do this offseason was add Kawhi and Jimmy Butler as their 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. I think that KD, you keep hearing whispers about KD and the Clippers and KD going there, and it's like, well, it's 100% done that he's going to the New York Knicks. That just came out this morning or last night.
95% done.
Yeah, and now it's – no, it said last night it was 100% done. That's what somebody said on a national television. They said that somebody had just texted them within the last 15 minutes, and it's 100% done. KD's calling up players around the league and asking them if they want to come play for the Knicks with them.
I don't believe that for a second, The playoffs are going on. He's not that much of a head case. Come on.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
I don't necessarily believe that either. Grizzlies at number two. Do they get Ja Morant or do they take R.J. Barrett?
It doesn't make sense to take Ja unless you're trading Mike Conley.
Which I think that's what's going
to
happen.
So could that be a sleeper to go to the Lakers?
Yeah.
Mike Conley?
Sure.
Mike Conley to the Lakers?
I that would be a big swing and a miss, I think, for the Lakers.
Yeah, he has a huge contract.
I think that's a hit for him. Yeah, he does have one of the biggest contracts in the NBA. He was one of the original, like, Supermax guys. He signed something for, like, $37, $38 million a year type deal.
I mean, people like you who don't necessarily like LeBron would have a field day if Mike Conley.
No. That's where you're wrong. I love Mike Conley. I think he's a champion.
He's an all-star player right now?
I do. I think that he's still – I think he's still – because I don't look at point guards as let's go get points guards.
Don't look at that either.
But yeah, you know what I mean? I look at a point guard as he runs the point.
Mm-hmm.
He sets the offense. He sets everything. And I think Mike Conley fits that. Now, is he a shooter that LeBron covets? Not really.
Yeah.
You know, so we'd have to find maybe another team. Could it be the Celtics that could get him? Could it be anybody? I mean, I know Scary Terry went on First Take yesterday and said that he doesn't want to be back with the same team. If it's the same team, he won't be there.
Mm-hmm. And that's something, too. Like, the NBA, it's what I love about it. It's so many moving parts. You got the Knicks now. They'll likely get R.J. Barrett at 3. The Lakers at 4. The Cavaliers, the Suns, the Bulls, the Hawks, and the Wizards all drop 3 spots.
Mm-hmm.
in the lottery.
Who do you think is the biggest loser in this lottery?
I think absolutely the Cavaliers. And I get I'm biased in this. I'm not going to lie. But when you – and I could say Phoenix as well. I'll say tie between Cleveland and Phoenix because it's a three-player draft. I think we can all agree. Maybe four because I'm a big Jarrett Culver guy. But it's a four-player draft. And when you have the Cavs and the Suns, and I guess you can throw the Bulls in there too, and you lose the opportunity now, that's a big devastating blow, especially for a team like the Cavaliers. The Bulls and the Suns are going to make strides next year, regardless of who they pick. The Cavaliers are nowhere near in that position.
Because the Bulls and the Suns have a core. What do the Cavaliers have to build around? Sexton?
They are low. They are really low right now. They needed a franchise-changing all-star player in this draft, and they're not going to get one now. So that's why I personally, and I get I'm biased, but that's why I personally think the Cavaliers are the biggest losers in this draft.
I think when it's all said and done and we look back on this draft in about 10 years, I think that the one of the top three players from this draft will be a kid by the name of Bol Bol.
Okay.
I see him. Okay. I love his work ethic. I love his demeanor. You could tell that basketball is life for him. And so, yeah, right now he's floating around the 6 to 12 range. But whatever team gets him, even though they didn't pick in the top three, they're getting a steal. Because it's not going to have that instant impact. It's not going to be that kid that comes in and drops 20 a game with seven rebounds and two blocks.
Yeah, he's going to be a project.
Season. Exactly. But in 5 years, you're going to be seeing him putting up that 18-8, 18-9. And that's a kid that I really, really think that whatever team sneaks in and gets him later in the lottery, they're going to get the win in this draft.
I could honestly see – I've seen almost all mock drafts slot him at the Wizards at 9. So, I don't know. Wizards, I'm sure you're happy about that. I'm not the biggest Bol Bol guy, but at the same time, I can definitely can't deny his work ethic and how he loves the game of basketball. And you do want that. That is – and people who are like that – they tend to be more successful than people who are not like that.
Those are the guys that make it in the league. You think about the Jimmy Butlers, the Giannises, the Kawhis. Those are all guys that went later in the first round than the top five, top seven picks, and yet they still turned out to be great players.
Mm-hmm. Who's your biggest loser, Ryan?
I'd probably have to say the New York Knicks, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Phoenix Suns when you each have a top three slotted pick, and you fall outside of it, although the Knicks have the three pick, which they'll get a good player there, but it's a head-scratcher for them. I think they're the biggest losers.
And Weston?
I'm going to go with Phoenix.
Okay.
I thought if Phoenix could have landed either Barrett or Ja Morant, I think that if Phoenix could have landed the second or third pick, they were in business to get somebody that really helped their team. I think if they'd have gotten Zion, sure, he fits too. But I think that they need somebody that outside of Devin Booker, that's a bucket getter.
Yeah.
And that's where I stand with this. So Phoenix, I love Phoenix too. That's one of my favorite teams. I root for them all the time. So I was upset to see that they didn't land that first, second, or third pick.
And the lottery, you're going to see a lot of more complaints about it. It will definitely second-guess teams from wanting to tank because, no one expected the top three of the top four to be the Pelicans, Grizzlies, and the Lakers.
And just think the Wizards did it right. The Wizards did it right. They had the sixth best odds, and who gets the first pick? The seventh best. We were so close.
And it's really crazy, but that's the lottery, man. I hope it's not like this next year, but we will see what happens.
No, you guys will have the number one odds next year. So
but we're going to get the number four pick.
Probably.
Exactly. So, playoffs. Weston, Celtics out in five. You called this, even with Milwaukee down, one game to nothing. Go ahead and unleash.
It is what it is. To me, the Bucks are Spurs East. You got the Nuggets right now with Spurs West. They're still young. They'll be up and coming soon, but those are two teams to me that you're going to see for a long time in the NBA battling it out in their conferences trying to win the conference championship, and the Bucks were the first one to get there. This is a big deal to me. It's a team that's got a lot of foreign-born players on it. It's got a very under-the-radar type of team. You don't really have the flashy players. I was trying to tell you how good Eric Bledsoe is on defense, and you were telling me no. But Kyrie went, what, like 8 to 22, 7 to 22, 6 yeah. to 21. I mean, Eric Bledsoe's a dog on defense. Back in the day, he was called Mini LeBron. That was his nickname when he was back with the Clippers and with the Suns. He was a guy that a lot of people were really high on, but he never played on a competitive team. So now you got this kid, and he's turned into a man, and he's leading that team at the point guard position, and he completely eliminated Kyrie. Kyrie was not even a factor in that series in the last three games.
Can't disagree with that.
I mean, he had, what, more shots than points, right? 107 shots to 104 points or something like that?
Yeah.
So to me, I this isn't surprising. I called it before the season. The Bucks are winning the finals. They're going to go ahead and I don't think they'll sweep Toronto. I think this is going to go six. I love Kawhi. I've always been a big Kawhi guy. So I'm pushing this one to six.
But. And the thing is, and I'll let Ryan get into this as well, I am disappointed with the Celtics. I think they definitely underachieved this year.
Oh, for sure.
I think almost everyone in was like, oh, the East is a lock. Boston's winning the Eastern Conference. And the thing is, you can't take it's not like that. You got to play the games. And I think they kind of took it for granted a little bit. And give all the credit in the world to Milwaukee. They were absolutely phenomenal. Greek Freak, Bledsoe, Middleton, all great. They had a phenomenal series. And we'll get into the Eastern Conference Finals in a moment, but
when Brogdon came back, that was a big difference maker in that series, too.
Malcolm Brogdon, big guy off the bench for them. That was extremely important.
For sure. Well, I don't know what to get into first. We'll start with the Celtics, and yes, it was a very disappointing season for them, and I think on that first take with Terry Rozier, he pretty much hit the nail on the head there. It was just a divided clubhouse. There was a lot of egos going on. Brad Stevens is an excellent coach. Give it up for him. He tried holding it all together, but it was just too much for him at the end of the day, and the better team ended up moving on to the next round. And this is the matchup everybody was looking for in the Eastern Conference Finals. They wanted to see Kawhi and Giannis go at it. You're saying it's going six. I'm saying it's going all seven, and it's going to end with a buzzer beater.
All right.
We wait and
we
see.
We will wait, and we will get our predictions in a moment.
I got one last thing to ask you, Sebastian.
All right.
I've always been very, very hard on Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. I always have.
Okay.
You know, up until LeBron signed there, he couldn't get Cleveland over the hump.
That
he
was 100% correct.
He was a very, very poor superstar for his team or star for his team. I feel like the only reason why he ever even made it to the main media and like everybody talking about him is because he's a fan favorite. You know, but to me, I feel like the issues begin with Kyrie and them trying to make this his team.
What do you mean by fan favorite?
Fans love Kyrie.
Oh, just in general?
Yeah, I got a lot of friends that play collegiate basketball and professional basketball, and they love Kyrie. And when, you know, I try to talk to them about the other things in athletes other than what their skill set is, they always like kind of ignore it and push it to the side because they themselves are athletes. So they don't see themselves doing that.
And I will say this, Kyrie Irving, not only did he not make the playoffs with the Cavs before LeBron got there, he didn't even come close. The last year, I guess he came relatively close before LeBron got there.
When you guys got the number one pick?
Yeah. That remember, we had the eighth or ninth best odds.
Oh, is that?
That
okay.
Year.
Okay.
So, but at the same time, you were 100% correct. Kyrie Irving, yes. Every time he's been the man on the team, his team is underachieved.
Yep.
And we will have to look at that in the mirror. If he goes to New York with KD, he'll no longer be the man, obviously. So that will be something to see. I think that Kyrie is also disappointed in himself. I think deep down he wished he didn't leave Cleveland because now you got all eyes on you. Everything on you. You wanted to be the man and you didn't deliver. Mm-hmm. So now you got to take all this criticism, and rightfully so. So I am 100% with you. I think there are a lot of issues related to Kyrie, and that's why I don't think if the Celtics do lose Kyrie, it's a loss, but it's not that big of a loss.
And see, they have so much talent. The Celtics will be fine without him.
And this dates all the way back to Duke, when he played 11 games for Duke, and they lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. That's Kyrie. This is his DNA, is he's not the leader. and he can't be. I'd love to tell him that. Like, he is not the leader, and he can't be. But it was funny that
you're
we just talked about...
You're more than welcome on Benchwarmers Redemption, Kyrie Irving.
It is funny, though, that we brought up the Cavaliers and the fact that when you guys got the number one overall pick the same year that LeBron came back, traded Andrew Wiggins after he played for the Cavs in the Summer League. Now, do you think that number four pick was kind of the NBA saying to the Lakers, hey, look, we gave you ammunition, now go get LeBron a superstar? Because I don't see that number four pick staying there. They had, what, like the odds of getting the 11th pick?
Ooh, the Lakers? Yep, correct.
So they had the 11th odds. They get the fourth overall pick. LeBron's desperate for a second star. I see that thing moving. And you know what? Washington is a great place to move that pick to.
By the way, I was just about to say, I would not be surprised to see Bradley Beal in a Laker uniform. Surprised to see that. I don't think you would get the three guys. I think, honestly, I don't think you'd get two. I think you'd only get one. And I think the guy you'd get would be Brandon Ingram. That's who I think you'd get. And I think you would get the number four pick? You'd get the number four pick as well.
And I would welcome that. I'd take a Brandon Ingram and a fourth pick for Bradley Beal.
Now he has that heart condition, correct?
He has something. I know what you're referencing. I don't know if it's a heart condition. It might be he has something. He has some sort of condition. That is correct. I'm not sure if it's a heart condition.
Maybe it's cardiovascular. Maybe that's why.
We'll have to do some research on that. But he definitely does have some sort of condition, for sure.
Yeah, and now the Wizards have, if they were to get Kuzma, they'd have a three deep at the power forward position with Parker, Kuzma, and Portis.
Well, Parker and Portis are not on contract.
Are they off of contract now?
Yeah, they had 1-year deals when they traded for him.
You know what? I didn't know that. Yeah. I just avoided it because I didn't like that move.
Brandon Ingram was diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder.
His dominant side.
I have no idea what that means. Anybody?
Nope. No idea, but that's what he was diagnosed with. So.
I mean, the Wizards don't even have a front office still, so.
I think they'll get that sorted out. Toronto-Philly. What a series.
What a series, for real. This exceeded all my expectations. I thought Toronto would run away with it.
I thought they'd sweep them.
Yeah. You know, 76ers, they stuck around and made it quite the series. It was a very defensive battle, too, some points.
Game seven was probably the best game of the playoffs.
So far,
for
sure. Yeah.
Phenomenal, phenomenal game. Kawhi, four bounces.
I could watch that all day. That's so satiating to the eyes.
Man, the only thing that stands out to me about that series is the way Joel Embiid acted afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
First off, man, it wasn't your last basketball. It wasn't his last basketball game. Man, suck it up. That was embarrassing what he was doing, and then people were praising it. No. How about this? You go into the gym and you actually work hard, and you get ready for these games. And you know what? You put in time and practicing, and you treat basketball like it's not a hobby, and you treat it like it's your job, and it's something that you love, and you don't show up late looking lethargic and out of shape for the NBA playoffs. I mean, and then you sit there and cry and whine? Well, man, you were absent for like three of those games. What are you crying about? And then people say, well, it shows his passion. Man, spare me. You know what shows somebody's passion is when they go into that gym first and they get there before everybody else. When they leave after everyone else left, that's passion.
That's true.
That was something that was acting like a petulant child. That was embarrassing. I felt so embarrassed for Joel Embiid for that to be going on and the way he was crying. I mean, he was sobbing. It wasn't even like it was a little bit of crying. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to rant on that.
No, go ahead.
But that's the biggest takeaway from that series for me. Outside of Kawhi, like, just channeling Michael Jordan for, four or five straight games. I just couldn't believe it.
It's probably not Embiid's last game, but it's Brett Brown. Is this his last game?
No, they announced he's coming back.
Oh, man.
I thought they said that he wouldn't be coming back.
No, they announced he's coming back.
Wow.
For another season.
I'm fine with that.
So Brett Brown will be back.
Watch it burn.
Well, the thing is, if they fired Brett Brown, they have to pay off 3 years of his contract.
Oh.
Because they signed into a 4-year contract extension last year.
Okay. So, I understand that.
So even if they fire him, let's say, next year, they still have to pay 2 years mm-hmm. off of his contract.
Well, they're just trusting the process, man.
Yeah. So Brett Brown, my man, coming back. Kawhi Leonard Is he the best player in basketball right now?
No.
Who would you say?
I'd give it to Curry.
Okay. You give it to Steph Curry.
We haven't even talked about the Warriors
yet. We will get
into
the Warriors momentarily. I think Kawhi Leonard is the second best player in the game of basketball. I think he is absolutely phenomenal. If they didn't make that trade with the Spurs, they would be out.
Yeah. Oh,
they would 100% be out. Not only do I think this series wouldn't go seven games, I think it'd go five with DeRozan. A phenomenal trade by Ujiri. Kawhi Leonard has single-handedly led this team to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I cannot wait to see how he does against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Do you think this inspires him to stay in Toronto?
I do not. I think he will be in Los Angeles regardless of how his team does down the stretch. I think he is determined to be in LA.
But he can sign the Supermax with Toronto, correct?
I don't think money will have an impact, but yes, that is correct. But I don't think money will have an impact in his decision.
Yeah, this one to me is like, I pride myself on Kawhi. I've loved Kawhi since San Diego State. When the Wizards picked Jan Vesely, I cursed at the TV. I wanted Kawhi Leonard. That's 100% fact. So watching him turn into this player is amazing to me. And if you actually look at his statistics in San Antonio, every single season, Popovich gave him two more shots a game. You know, and that's a very strict system. And he was on his way to averaging 27, 29, 30 points a game had he stayed in San Antonio.
And now he's doing it.
Right. Now you're seeing what it's like when it's not that strict system that they had down there. It's more of, hey, Kawhi's our superstar. We're going to play through him. And, I loved what I was watching. To me, I like KD. I'm a big KD fan. KD doesn't add what Kawhi does on defense. I love Kawhi. To me, he's the best player in the game right now, named Giannis. It's between those two, and the fact that Kawhi goes a little bit further outside, I would say that maybe Kawhi is 1A and Giannis is 1B. But I think that he's the man, and if he can do it, he can do it. Whoever wins the East is winning the finals.
What?
And if it's Kawhi that gets to put the clamps on KD, then it's Kawhi that gets to put the clamps on KD. But remember, LeBron's second ring came because Kawhi Leonard missed two free throws. And then, up by three, LeBron misses a three, Chris Bosh knocks it out to Ray Allen, Ray Allen knocks down the three to tie the game. And that comes down to Kawhi. He's not clutching the playoffs as far as the free throw line go.
I think he's matured, man. This is a different Kawhi than, what was that, like 6 years ago now? Maybe seven? You're talking about the Heat.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Yeah, man. He's grown up. He's a seasoned vet by now.
But he just missed two free throws at the end of a playoff game.
He missed one. He missed two.
No, in the last series.
Oh, in the...
Yeah, in the first series. Gotcha, so it's like... Yeah. But then he hits the first ever game winner in Game 7 history. So, I mean, I don't know.
Made up for it.
Was that shot a good shot? Was it luck? Was it a little bit of both?
I think it was a good shot.
It was a good shot. Did you see the defense on him? He had a hand right in his face when he let that go.
I think it was a fabulous shot.
I think it was a good shot, but for it to bounce on the rim like that, it wasn't the best shot. There was a lot of luck involved. The wind was just blowing the right way in Jurassic Park, you know?
Sometimes luck's got to be on your side. Eastern Conference Finals predictions.
I got Bucks in six.
Bucks in six. Ryan Record.
Raptors in seven.
Raptors in seven. I'm going to go Raptors in six.
There you have it, everybody. So that means the Bucks will win the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right. Dogging our predictions, Ryan. All right. Hey, if Milwaukee fans, you know what that means since you have more than... Ooh, I got some breaking news right here that has just come in. I want to announce this real quick, but Milwaukee fans, since we picked against you, you're guaranteed to win. The New York Jets have just fired Mike Maccagnan.
Interesting.
The New York Jets have fired general manager Mike Maccagnan. They have named Adam Gase interim general manager.
Wow.
That's what my woe came from is when I read that part of it.
Wow.
Just give us your best Owen Wilson wow right now. Wow.
Stunning news. This will obviously... Let's take a break from the NBA. Talk about this stunning breaking development here.
I could have swore the first GM fired would have been Kime.
Mike Maccagnan gone. Wow.
After the draft, after free agency, you sign all these free agents.
Yeah, he signs two of the biggest free agents out there. And then in the draft, he drafts, in my opinion, the best player in the draft. And then if you did you look at the rest of the draft, though? They have a whole bunch of question marks. They got a bunch of guys that are based on talent and the knuckleheads in college.
Here's
so.
A statement from Chairman and CEO Chris Johnson. This morning, I informed Mike that he was being relieved of his duties as general manager of the team, effective immediately. Mike helped to execute the strategic vision of the organization during the last four seasons and especially the past few months. However, I came to the decision to make a change after much thought and a careful assessment of what would be in the best long-term interest of the New York Jets. I will start a new search for our new general manager immediately. In the interim, Coach Gates will be acting general manager. I would like to thank Mike for his time and efforts during his tenure. I wish only the best for him and his wife, Betty. Wow. I am stunned.
You think Adam Gase had something to do with it?
I think this was the right time to let a general manager go, though.
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
I will also... Yep.
Because if you let him go before the draft, say after the season before the draft, you've already started to put together your board. You already know what the scouting department's
been looking at. And the draft room's a mess.
It looks like the Jets already have their replacement in order. The plan for the Jets is they're going, according to Adam Schefter, they are planning to hire Eagles Vice President of Player Personnel Joe Douglas.
Okay.
So that's the plan right now.
The boxer?
Wow. The Jets have McCagnan had 2 years left on his contract, too. They also fired, the Jets also fired Vice President of Player Personnel, Brian Heimerdinger, as well. But wow. Breaking news into the Benchwarmers redemption. Mike McCagnan has been let go by the New York Jets.
Now, I only follow two teams. Like, I follow two teams. I follow the Redskins, I follow the Browns. I know both of us are in OTAs right now. I don't know. Did the Jets meet for OTAs yet? Did they start, or are they coming up this weekend?
I think they started. I want to say that's a good question. I think they started. I'm not sure. Le'Veon Bell said he's probably not going to show up for OTAs. I know
Of course.
So,
All right. I don't mean to say this in any way negatively, but Le'Veon Bell will be out for the season by week six. It's what happens.
OTAs start next week.
For the Jets?
Yep.
Okay. So they did this before. If they'd have done that while OTAs were going on, then I would have been like, whoa, what is this organization? But they did it at the right time. It's before the team meets for the first time of the season. And it's after the draft so that their board can't get leaked and none of that stuff can go on. It's just a real head-scratcher, though, as to why they would do it in general. The team was bad before he got there, and they're still bad. What do they expect's going to happen?
It's stunning. I'm stunned. But, wow. Wow, that was some interesting breaking news going into the Benchwarmers redemption. Back to the NBA. Western Conference. Warriors-Rockets.
It was another pretty good series. I honestly thought it was going to go all 7-2, but the Warriors and Games 5 and 6 just put them away. They were all, like, pretty close games, too.
I think big changes are coming for Houston.
The Rockets need to blow it up. They need to go to Sue Bird down in San Antonio and ask if she wants a head coaching gig. I know that sounds funny, but that's Popovich's lead assistant right now.
Becky Hammon.
Becky Hammon. So they need to get whoever is next to Pop and sign them as the head coach, because that's how you do it in the NBA right now.
And the lead assistant to Popovich, if I'm not mistaken, is Ettore Messina. He's the lead assistant. Becky Hammon is an assistant on that staff, but she is not the lead assistant.
Okay. All right, well, she's getting there. She's going to get her opportunity.
She's a phenomenal basketball coach.
I really think that's the next head coach of the Spurs.
Becky?
Mm-hmm.
That would be...
I think they're going to be the progressive team that does it.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
But
back to the Rockets, big changes are coming. From what I've heard, and Weston thinks they should, and I would agree as well, changes are coming for the Houston Rockets. This might not be a popular opinion. Chris Paul has an albatross of a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to trade him. I don't know if he has a no-trade clause or not. I think the Lakers would absolutely take him.
I'm sure he has a no-trade clause. I'm almost positive of that.
Okay.
No, no, the Lakers are sticking with Lonzo Ball and moving forward. Unless he gets traded, which will be as surprised as you were that the Jets fired their GM today, that's how I would be if Lonzo gets traded, because Jeannie Buss loves him.
Yeah.
You know, people think that LeBron made the Lakers relevant again. No, no. LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball made the Lakers relevant again.
Oh, boy. Oh, jeez.
Man, the Rockets need to blow it up. That was just an ugly series. In game one, even when KD was healthy, you could just see that it wasn't even close.
Game five was all I needed to see to know that this thing's done. They had the opportunity to put their foot on the Warriors' neck, and they couldn't do it.
The last four playoff appearances by the Rockets, they've been eliminated.
I think it's five.
Is it five straight?
I'm pretty sure it's
five. I thought it was 4 and 5 years. Is it 5 and 6 years?
It might be five. The last five times they've been knocked out by the Warriors.
And that just, what you're doing now, that's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right.
And this is a team that prides itself on building itself around beating the Warriors, which it just can't do yet.
Yeah, that's all they said all offseason for the last 2 years is we built this team to beat the Warriors. We built it. You can't do it.
And the Warriors are just sipping their juice, laughing.
Yeah, absolutely, and they should be laughing. Other series, Portland-Denver.
That was
phenomenal series.
Another great series.
To me, the best series all postseason.
Yeah.
You watched real basketball games every single game.
For sure. Two small market teams, no huge egos, just good team ball.
No, but I mean, when you watch these games, they were the only games that it was like every single time they went down, it was a half-court set. They ran a play. They got to the basket. They were actually doing things. It was actual basketball. Man, I get so tired. Like, watching Houston, I'd sit there and yell at my TV, run a play!
Yeah.
And they just go to ISO,
every time.
It'd be a handoff to Capella. Capella put a little screen on the guy, and it'd go back to ISO, and it's like, oh, I guess that is their play. So, to me, that was the best series so far in the NBA playoffs.
It was a phenomenal series. CJ McCollum, by the way, phenomenal in Game 7. Absolutely spectacular. 37 points. Probably the reason they're moving on right now.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in Denver.
I told you 3 weeks ago they'd be the biggest disappointment.
Well, the thing is, I agreed with you because their coaching is not good. They have Mike Malone as their coach.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Malone, like coach teams, are not good. It's the same as Brett Brown. You're gonna find a way because they're just not good coaches. They find ways to lose.
See,
Did you see that last play, by the way, when they were up 4 with 10 seconds left? They inbound it, and Jokic shoots a 3 from like 45 feet. Like, come on, man.
Might be a shot. It might be a shot in practice, man. We never know.
Right.
But you got to remember, can we just take a step back from Denver? And I always bring this up: instant gratification. They're led by a 24-year-old. Their second best player is 22. Let's take a step back and say, hey, these are still young kids.
They are.
And it was important for them to win that first series against a well-coached, the best coached team in basketball, the Spurs. And they took
also against two playoff chokers, but
still, it was against the Spurs, and Popovich knows what he's doing. So that was a big learning experience for the Nuggets. And now the Nuggets go up against one of the most veteran-led teams in the West. This is a team that has been built for years. I mean, about 4 or 5 years running. You've had C.J. McCollum and Dame Dollar sitting there as the centerpieces to this team. They build around them, and now you have this young core of kids. And it really, the role players on Denver aren't that good. I mean, they're good. They're good compared to, like, average basketball players, but they're not superstars. They're not stars. They're just average role players. And Denver took them 7, and I think, to me, that was a win for Denver, even though they lost the series. You know, this is a young team, and for them to do that, man, that's pretty impressive to me.
I would agree. I mean, but the thing is, I'm just, as much as I agree with that, I think you should beat Portland. I think you had more talent than Portland. That's where I come from. I mean, Jokic was incredible, and they still lost.
He's my favorite big man to watch.
He might be the best in the league.
I think he is.
I watched him pluck this ball out. He was boxing a guy out with like the left side of his body, and this ball went up, and I saw him pluck it out with one hand, palm it, in one turn, chuck that thing down for a one dribble layup on the other end. I was like, that's a pass. That's a play right there.
He's spectacular. There's nothing else to say. Warriors Trailblazers game one happened last night, right after the lottery, Warriors came out on top.
Was a blowout.
Yes, it was. I think that's kind of what we expect, in my opinion. I don't think... I coming into this series, obviously we didn't get to go on there. I thought the Warriors would sweep Portland. I really did.
Well, they're on
pace. Maybe they get a game.
Yeah, it's going five.
But
it's going to be the Warriors, though.
I still got Portland in seven. I still... Man, this is a... Don't write Dame off.
Oh,
he only put in 19 points last night. Expect 30-plus from him next game. I just... Look, man, this is one team that's always kind of had the Warriors' number. It's a team that's kind of always given the Warriors a run for their money when it comes to regular season. They haven't really matched up in the postseason. But, look, man, that's a bunch of veteran guys, a bunch of 28, 29-year-olds that are ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if Portland doesn't do it this year, this might be the only chance.
I'm with you, man.
So they got to dig deep. They got to really look within themselves and say, hey, guys, we got here. Now let's finish.
Yeah.
So I expect them to make a comeback and take this one seven.
Okay. I'd like to see that happen.
Hopefully.
It's not like I'm rooting for the Warriors. It's just my brain telling me a fact. Like, the Warriors are going to run away with this thing, man.
They've been to four straight finals. They look unbeatable. They got two of the top five players in the world.
Yeah.
They got three of the top 15. They got four of the top 30. You know, it is what they are.
Yeah.
But it's in me. You guys know me. I like underdogs. I'm not going to sit here and watch the Warriors and be like, yeah, they're going to take this. Nah, man, I want to see some scrappiness. I want to see some fight. I want to see some life out of Portland. I want them to, like, make everybody go, man, Portland's this good? You know, and like I said to you, Sebastian, right during the middle of the first round of games, I said, is it too late to change my finals prediction from Denver to Portland?
You definitely did.
And I was mad at myself for not picking Portland originally after I thought about it. I was like, man, I love the Blazers. I was like, you know, this team, it's got veteran leadership. Dame's now an adult. He's 28 years old. This is his time. So I'm riding that horse until it breaks down, man, until it's time to send it to the glue factory.
And I will say, I do admire Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum a lot. It's just... They're too good. The Warriors are too good.
It's a David and Goliath matchup for sure.
No doubt.
They're just... I just don't see it. Like, I just can't see a scenario where they lose this series. I'm sorry. I hope Portland wins for sure. I just don't see it happening.
See, Dame being from Oakland, I feel like he's going to have a game in Oracle where he's going to put on for the city of Oakland. You know, that's his home. I feel like Dame, and where I think that happens is game seven. I think they take every game in Portland. When they go back to the Rose City, I think they take them all. I think that both teams split the games at home. They all go Warriors at home win, Portland at home win, and then when it gets to that game seven at Oracle, I think that Damian Lillard shuts down his home arena. You know, that's the last game that ever be played there, and I think Dame's going to be the one to end it.
That would be a great story.
This is even a Warriors team missing DeMarcus and KD.
Right.
And they still blew him out. So.
Right.
When does KD come back? Third game?
Yeah, that's the plan. He could come back game three.
Unless they're already up two games and none and hadn't been close.
Yeah, right. Then you just hold them back. NHL playoffs. Boston Bruins.
Ugh.
Up 3-0 on the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yep. They're the better team. I told you this at the start. You guys wanted to believe in the Hurricanes, and it was a good feel-good story.
Did I not pick the Bruins?
I don't recall.
I know I picked the Bruins for this round.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and check the tape.
No, I think
the Bruins are winning the Stanley Cup, though.
I took the Bruins during your round.
And here's the thing. I think the Bruins are winning the Stanley Cup by default because you know who the last three Stanley Cup champions have all knocked out the Blue Jackets. So if that trend continues... The Boston Bruins, it's your cup. I am just saying. Penguins back-to-back. Capitals. Now, it's the Boston Bruins.
It's their time to shine again. And I can't stand it. I don't like the Bruins at all. But they play scrappy hockey, and that's why they are where they are.
I had to double check. I'm still rocking with St. Louis now. I know that we haven't had this conversation since my Avs got eliminated.
Yeah. We were supposed to have the Blue Jackets Avalanche Stanley Cup, man.
I know. It was going to be a great time. We were going to have a show dedicated to it.
Yeah, we're going
to
go out.
Yeah, we were going to go catch a game if we could in
Absolutely.
Columbus. No, but I think the Blues are going to be the team. I think that'd
be a great story. I
think so too.
Phenomenal story. That's who I want to win for sure. St. Louis. I don't.
Boston looks unbeatable.
They're good.
They look like Zdeno Chara. I don't know if this is his last ride or not, but it feels like they all know it is, and they want to get him a title on the way out.
Mm-hmm. They're really good. And you know what? What the Bruins are showing, you got to give credit to both the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs for fighting them hard, real hard. 6 games, Toronto took them 7. It kind of shows you something about those other two teams as well.
They're not sleepers.
And remember, Carolina's been a feel-good story of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. They're just coming off a sweep.
Right. So, it's not like Boston's the only team to where it's like, they're the favorite in this series.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guy that owns Carolina deserves to get swept after what happened to the AAF.
Tom Dundon. But Boston up 3-0. Do they close out tomorrow?
I'd say so.
You say so?
No doubt.
I disagree. I think it will go 5. I think they'll close them out in Boston. I think they win game 4, and I think they'll close them out game 5 in Boston.
Okay.
That's what I think is going
to
happen.
You know, to me, the coolest thing about hockey is no lead's ever safe. I've seen 3-0 leads get blown all the time.
That is true.
Yeah, I've seen 8 beat 1s. It's the only sport to where it feels like home field advantage, home ice advantage really isn't a thing. Sometimes I've seen teams go into the Capitals Center, MCI Center, Verizon Center, whatever it's called these days. I've seen them go into that place and just act like they were the home team.
Yeah.
You know, completely steal all of our lightning. So anything could happen. In Carolina, they've been getting rowdy over there.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Oh, yeah.
If Carolina takes this game, that could swing that momentum.
It could. It absolutely could. That's the beauty of hockey. Let's go to the other series. The Blues and the Sharks tied at 1 apiece, going back to St. Louis tonight for game 3. Who do you have?
I mean, at the start of the playoffs, I told you guys, don't sleep on the Sharks. They were my pick to go to the Stanley Cups.
You did.
And here they are. This is like, it's their time. Like we were saying with the Trailblazers earlier, it's ride or die. So you're going to see San Jose go, and they're going to give whoever goes in the, well, it's going to be the Bruins. They're going to go play the Bruins. It's going to be a great series, but you're going to see the Bruins win it.
And I will say, Jordan Binnington is just such a great story for the Blues.
He was on their minor league team or something, and they called him up?
He was a backup on the minor league team to start the season.
That's awesome.
And now he's the starting goalie.
Soaking in the limelight.
It's truly a crazy feel-good story.
He's having a phenomenal playoff.
Absolutely.
And you guys remember that crazy stat that I told you last time? Like the last time the Blues went to the Stanley Cup was in the 70s.
Yeah.
And neither one of them have ever won it. So that's going to be a great story. And also in the NBA, let's talk about how cool it is that the Raptors and the Bucks are in the finals too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
I love the small markets.
You're guaranteeing that.
I did too.
Did the Bucks win back in the 70s? I think they won
They won when they had Oscar Robinson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. That was like 78.
I don't know if
he
changed his name yet or anything or that. It might have been 73.
I don't think he changed.
Oh, yeah, that's then. Way back.
Yeah, I think he was still Lou Alcindor, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, man, they had. Come on, this is
all these sports just warm in my heart.
I know. my favorite. Whoever wins the East, that is who I'm rooting for. I like Toronto. I love the city. I love the Bucks because Giannis. Whoever wins, that's my guy. That's my horse in the race, man. Underdog all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I love the small markets. Blues, Sharks, I think the Sharks are going to end up taking it in 7.
Okay.
But, I'm definitely rooting for St. Louis. I would love to see a St. Louis-Carolina Stanley Cup. I know it's not going to happen, likely, but I would love to see that happen.
You realize that out of both playoffs, NBA and NHL, there's only one big market team left on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's Golden State.
And Boston.
And it's Boston. And they're right as of right now with four teams left.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think San Jose is a relatively big market. It's Bay Area. Bay Area is a big market. So.
Yeah, the Bay Area is, but San Jose itself is.
Yeah, but it's like a Bermuda. They're all like 20 minutes away from each other.
Is that all San Jose? Is that where the new stadium is for San Francisco? Is in San Jose?
It's close. It's very close.
Because I tell you something,
Santa Clara.
It took us like an hour and 15 minutes to get there from San Francisco.
Well, you probably took some traffic in there.
I mean, I was on a bus. I was terrified.
That would have helped as well.
Part of my thing is from that same day, as an honorary king for a day, I just can't root for San Jose. I can't do it, man. I was like an honorary member of the Kings, and I can't turn on my guys like that. That was my squad, man.
Real quickly before we go, two things. Baseball. Anyone want to get something off their chest for MLB?
I mean, the Nats are looking atrocious. We've been saying that for the last month.
They're on pace for like 68 wins. Yeah. I don't want to say I told you so, but like,
how about the players backing up the coach though, Dave Martinez?
See, and where people were saying that Bryce needed to go and he didn't get along with the rest of the players in the clubhouse, maybe the writing was on the wall for the rest of the clubhouse. The rest of that clubhouse needed to go. But I had a conversation with Mike Rizzo, okay? And this was on the way to the game on April 2nd. And I didn't realize it was Mike Rizzo because what he was wearing this green, Kelly green, like windbreaker pullover, and it had an eagle on the front of it, but it wasn't a Philadelphia Eagles eagle. It was like a high school logo eagle. And I told him straight to his face, I said, if I owned the Washington Nationals, when Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies, the next day Mike Rizzo would have walked in my office and said good morning, and I'd have looked at him and said, you're fired. And I stand by that. I'd love to talk to Mike again. I'd love to see if we could revisit our conversation, and if maybe he now understands where I was coming from with it.
No, I'll say this: the Dodgers looking pretty good right now as well.
Sure are. And how about
World Series pick?
The NL Central, man, that's stat.
Yeah, really loaded. Cubs are playing incredible baseball right now.
Y'all thought I was a fool when I picked them to go to the World Series. They're looking pretty good.
I picked them to go to the playoffs.
Guys, who did I pick to go to the World Series from the National League? Did I pick the Phillies?
I think you did.
I did? I mean, Bryce is in his early season struggles right now, and they are still flying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I mean, just wait until the All-Star break comes. He always heats up once it gets warm outside, which I don't know if that has to do with he's from Las Vegas or, you know, being a West Coast kid. He doesn't really like the cold. I don't know what it is, but When it gets warm out and he starts ripping the cover off the ball and the Phillies start flying up the standings, man, I'm telling you, that's a dangerous team, but he'll suck once the playoffs come. It gets too cold in Philly.
And last but not least, Weston Graham, I'm going to give you the floor for a little surprise you want to get into.
All right, now this is not going to tickle everyone's fancy, but this will tickle some people's fancy. I don't know if anybody here follows professional wrestling at all. I know it's more of an art form than an actual sport, but it is a sport in itself. All Elite Wrestling, which is backed by the owner of the Jaguars in Fulham, Khan,
okay.
Shad Khan, they have just announced this morning that their program will be airing weekly on TNT, and their pay-per-views will be going through Bleacher Report Live. Now, for wrestling followers, this is big news. This is like a WCW coming back alive, and now WWF or WWE has to reinvent themselves and actually put out a decent product to watch. So I would say give it about 12 months and then maybe turn on some wrestling and see if you guys can enjoy it a little bit and watch some people get knocked over the head with chairs and
you know what
the blood
this
spill.
Is the equivalent of, Ryan?
What's that?
This is the equivalent of Alex Baker talking about the CFL or rugby.
oh, you know what? You know what, Sebastian? Hey. You just reminded me of something. And shout out to next year is our year, Liverpool Football Club, for coming.
We're going to win the Champions League.
In second place.
We're going to win the Champions League.
And like I've been saying, Spurs are going to win the league. Spurs are winning the Champions League.
All right.
And it's going to be another, you never walk alone, but you always walk without trophies.
Y'all can't beat Cardiff. Y'all can't beat Cardiff or Huddersfield.
Good.
So.
Good. Hopefully we'll get rid of some players. Hopefully this is the last time you've ever seen Paul Pogba wear a Manchester United badge. Hopefully this is the last time you ever see
Ole
guys
Gunner,
like...
Sorry, Shire.
No, Ole's at the wheel. I have a lot of faith in Ole. I have... And I said the same thing with Mourinho. I said the same thing with Mourinho. I said that it wasn't Jose. It was the team. It was the players. And once they named Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as the permanent manager, did you notice that this team's form dipped? Did you notice that? Yes. It was like once Paul Pogba was like, oh, I'm not going
to get... They went from one loss under him in interim to 12. Eight losses.
Right. And see, when you think about it, it was as soon as Paul Pogba and Anthony Martial heard, Zidane won't be your head coach or your manager next season. Zidane's not our guy. All of a sudden, Paul Pogba just disappeared. Yeah, he went... It's embarrassing. I have a clip I'll show you after we get off the program of Paul Pogba completely letting his man run away from him against Cardiff, him walking, and then his man setting up the assist without anybody near him. Why? Because he...
For the second goal, right? Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, it's embarrassing. There are certain guys that should never wear that badge again, and it starts with him. And then you have younger guys on the team that aren't old enough to see what's going on. And it's like, you want them to take a step back and go, wait a second, he did what to us? Because what they should do is, honestly, they should jump him. I know that maybe should not be talked about or anything, but they need to do what they got to do. They got to act like men and say, hey, man, you just threw away millions of dollars for us. A lot of these guys are losing out on $2 to $4 million on their contract next
season. I absolutely hope Watford destroys Man City in the FA Cup final, because that means you guys get to play second round Europa League qualifiers.
Good. Hopefully we get knocked out. the main thing for Manchester United next season.
That's in July, by the way. The season doesn't start until August.
The most important thing for them should be win the Premier League. I know that there's a big gap right now. There's something like a 26-point gap or a 32-point gap.
31 points behind us, 32 behind City.
Right, 32-point gap. But that, to me, look, man, forget European football. Europa League's a joke. It's a joke. We won that title a couple years ago. We don't want to be known as the team that wins Europa Leagues. Okay, that's embarrassing. Just completely forget the Europa League. Shout out Watford. I hope they win so that we do get eliminated from it, because we don't need to play.
Well, you wouldn't
get
eliminated from it.
Yeah, we'd have to play that, and then we don't have to do group stage, so we don't have Thursday nights during the first half of the season up to December. And, you know, we get time to actually focus on the league. We need to go out and get Yao Felix. We need to bring in Jadon Sancho. We should make a run at Matthijs de Ligt. We should be making runs at guys like Kieran Tierney. We need to get a youthful team that's going to buy in. They're not going to be all about themselves and about their brand. They're going to be about the team. And that's what Liverpool did. You got guys like Mane, you got Firmino, you got Salah, you got guys that are team first people. And if they get, you know, a little bit of popularity afterwards, they run with it. But they don't chase the clout. But, you know, hey, shout out Liverpool for 29 straight years, no EPL.
All right, that's fine by me. We're going to get the bigger and better one, the Champions League.
Hey, before we close out, I just wanted to go back to the World Wrestling thing that Weston had hit on. And I saw a report that WWE is the sixth most watched sport in the world, ahead of baseball and the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
So give it up for WWE.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, it's popular around the world. It's popular around the world for sure.
But AEW, I think if you guys want to come by, I'm gonna have a viewing party for their first pay per view next weekend.
I'll see you. So let's do it. This sounds fun.
This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick.
And with you, like always, is Ryan Record
and Weston Graham.
And until next time, peace. Stay safe and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.